always good to have a rousing song before the sermon because that makes everybody awake and take notice. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this Sunday should come as no surprise to you. The title is The End of the World. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 21, especially finding our theme in the sixth verse. Let me read that to you again. Jesus said, "The days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." I encourage you to follow inside your bulletin and find there the colored insert as we consider our theme, the end of the world. Many events in our lives, our personal lives, can be reminders of the end of the world. Simple things like the end of a week, the end of a calendar year, the end of a road, the end of a long-running TV program, the end of a good book. When I was younger, though, it was the end of summer vacation when school was about to start. It was the end of the world for me. And then later, it was the end of the baseball season, which meant for me a long, never-ending hockey winter. And now, it's the aging of loved ones. Just went home to see my mother. She's getting older. It's my own aging. My doctor would remind me when I come in with the newest running injury, "You're not 25 anymore." It's my children, now married, living far away, now starting their own lives. All these things are reminders to me, and I'm sure to you, that time passes, that this world will not last forever, that the end of the world is coming. Notice your sermon outline. The last days, the end of the world that Jesus speaks of in our gospel lesson today, were predicted by Old Testament prophets. I just chose three. Joel and Amos and Obadiah point to the day of the Lord, the last day, as a day of God's judgment. Listen to these texts. Joel 3, "For the day of the Lord is near. The sun and the moon will grow dark. The stars will lose their brightness. The Lord roars from Zion. He utters his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth tremble and shake." From Amos chapter 5, "For what purpose will be the day of the Lord? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or he goes home and leans his hand against the wall and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even gloom with no brightness in it?" And Obadiah says, "For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return upon your own heads." Oh my! The day of the Lord will be a day of judgment. But Jeremiah and Amos also spoke about the days of the Lord that are coming. And they said it's not just judgment, it's God's wrath. He's angry. Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish on that day all who are disobedient." And Amos says, "It will come about in that day, declares the Lord. I'll make the sun go down at noon. I'll make the earth dark in broad daylight. I will turn your festivals into mourning. I will turn your songs into lamentations." Wow. And according to Daniel 7, at the end of time, Daniel has a vision. And he says, "One like the Son of Man will come in clouds of glory, and he will enter into the presence of God, who's called the Ancient of Days." That's what Daniel says. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus. Listen to Daniel 7. "Behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days. He was presented before him, and to him was given dominion. To him was given glory and a kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." Jesus taught in the gospel reading from Luke 21. He taught his disciples about these last days. Look at your outline. What has he told us in the gospel reading for today? He says, in the last days, there will be wars. There will be great tumults all over the earth. We see this today. Listen to his words from Luke 21. "And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but then the end will not come all at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." And he goes on to say, "There will also be natural disasters in the earth." I'm not sure about you, but in my short life, it seems more and more natural disasters, more and more hurricanes, more and more tornadoes, more and more floods. What did Jesus say in the text? "There will be in those last days great earthquakes, in various places famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and signs from heaven." He also goes on to say in those last days, there will be false teachers and persecutions for God's believers. Do you remember last Sunday's sermon? I know it's been a whole week ago. We talked about the Antichrist. At the end of the time, the Antichrist will come to deceive God's people. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 21. And he said, "See that you're not led astray. For many in those days will come in my name, saying, I am he, and I am he." The children's sermon, false religions. "The time is at hand. Don't go near them," Jesus says. "But before all of this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, and you will be brought before kings and governors for nigh my name's sake." And Jesus goes on to say in Luke, "The Son of Man himself will come on clouds of glory." It's his reference to the prophecy in Daniel 7 about himself. Listen to what Jesus says. "In those days the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And these words of Jesus are tied to his crucifixion and his resurrection and second coming. In the Bible, Jesus' crucifixion is the beginning of the end times. Jesus' crucifixion is the beginning of the end times defeat of all of God's enemies, of sin and death and the devil. The end for God's enemies began there at the cross. In the Bible, Jesus' resurrection is the promise of our resurrection at the life's end. Even as God raised his Son, God will raise we who put our faith in the Son. And finally, Jesus' second coming is the signal that the end of the world has finally and fully come. So, point four in our message, you're saying, are we moving quickly today? Why? Because the end is coming. Not just of this sermon. The end is coming. We are to live every day as if this could be the day. Christians anticipate the second coming of Jesus and the end of the world, because the second coming of Christ and the end of the world is not only judgment day, it's also a day of deliverance. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5. St. Paul writes, "For God has not destined us for wrath, no, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, judgment day does not mean the end. It means the beginning of life with God in heaven as we want it to be and it should be. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul says that God makes a promise to those who have died in Christ, that those who have died in Christ will rise, and we who are still alive on that last day, we will rise to meet them. Are you missing some loved ones in your life? Are you missing some dear saints who have gone before you? St. Paul's words here say, on that last day, our bodies will rise and we who are still alive will join them in the air to be with our Lord forever. And there will be that great communion in the great by and by. Listen to Paul says. He says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, so that you will not grieve like all the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until his coming again will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you see the picture being painted here? If you are alive on the day Jesus comes back, you'll be taken bodily to heaven. You won't have to die before you go to heaven. Where do you think that old hymn comes from we sang on All Saints Day? One fine morning when this world is over, I'll fly away. We'll be taken to the Lord in heaven. What a glorious day. You see, on Judgment Day, a wonderful thing awaits all those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Instead of judgment, we get mercy. Let me say that again. Instead of judgment, which is what we deserve, we get mercy. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to have Jeff push a button so as not to shock you. If you happen to be dozing off now, I'm warning you so you're not waking from your nap. He's going to play a song by a Canadian group from Newfoundland called The Great Big Sea. The title of the song is, It's the End of the World as We Know It. Just the first few lines. Would you listen carefully? That'll do it. I'd like to play more. It's one of my favorite groups, but we'll save that for later. It's the end of the world as I know it, and I feel fine. How can we? Here's why. If I've said this once, I've said it a dozen times in Bible class and from the pulpit, and I'll keep saying it till you start believing it. God's not fair. He's merciful. There's a big difference. How many times have you said or heard a young person say and watch the lower lip, it's not fair, you're not fair. As adults, we might say, God's not fair. If you ever have anybody say to you again, God's not fair, say, that's right, and thank God that he's not fair. If God were simply fair on Judgment Day, what would you get? What would I get for my sins? Judgment and wrath. God's just not fair. God is merciful. Jesus got God's wrath on the cross for your sin and for mine. There he cried out as he paid for the sins of the world, as he paid for your sins and my sins. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In parentheses, it's not fair. And you know what? It wasn't. He was perfect and sinless and gave his life for you and for me. But on the cross, Jesus suffered God's wrath. And on Easter Sunday, he rose in victory to demonstrate God isn't fair to sinners. He's merciful. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that on Judgment Day, you and I will not get what we deserved, Jesus got what we deserved. We get God's mercy. Years ago, there was a wonderful Christmas TV movie that I think is played almost every year. It's called A Christmas Story. It's a wonderful and hilarious story about a little boy named Ralphie, and all Ralphie wants is a Red Ryder BB gun. Maybe you don't remember this movie or show. It'll come to your remembrance when I tell you a little more. Ralphie had a lot of challenges in his life. Ralphie's father was constantly irritable and upset. Ralphie, every day at school, was picked on and beat up by the school bully. One particular day, after a trying day at school, Ralphie couldn't take it any longer, and he turned on his bully, and he beat him to a pulp, screaming all kinds of obscenities. But unbeknownst to Ralphie, his mother heard his tirade, and mother walks him home and sends him to his room and says those infamous words that many, many of us were raised with, "Wait till your father gets home." Ralphie is in his darkened room. He's staring at the ceiling with tears coming down his eyes. Ralphie's anticipating the worst punishment possible. Judgment Day is coming, and it's coming at 5:15 when his dad drives in the driveway. Ralphie's mother finds Ralphie's younger brother, Randy, hiding under the kitchen sink and crying. And she says, "Randy, what's wrong?" And he says, "Daddy's going to kill Ralphie." Still locked in his room, Ralphie's pondering his fate. And the voiceover in the movie, we hear Ralphie say this, "I hear the car pulling up in the driveway. I hear the door slamming. A wave of terror broke over me. He's going to know what I said. He's going to know what I did." Still locked in his room, he hears his dad's voice, and he walks down the stairs to meet his judgment day. After some small talk, the dad says to the mother, "Well, what happened today?" Ralphie realizes it's all going to hit the fan. He realizes his mother is going to spill the beans, and he looks at his mother with a painful expression. But in answer to the father's question, "What happened today?" the mother says, "Nothing much. Ralphie got in a fight." Tension rises as dad puts down the newspaper, looks at Ralphie with a stern gaze and says, "A fight? What kind of fight?" And his mother gently says, "Oh, you know how boys are. Pop, I gave him a talking to. Hey, I see the Bears and the Packers are playing on TV today." It suddenly dawns on Ralphie that he has just experienced a modern-day Passover. The doom and judgment of which he was so certain has passed over him as his mother poured out mercy. A smile breaks across Ralphie's face. He beams at his mother. She winks at him. And Ralphie then says these words to himself, "I slowly realized that I was not about to be destroyed. From then on, things were different between me and my mother." Ralphie's mother is a Christ figure, because Jesus Christ has turned our sure and certain judgment day into a day of salvation, a day of mercy. We're not getting what we deserved. By Jesus' death on the cross to pay for your sin and thank God to pay for mine, and by his resurrection from the grave to defeat sin, to defeat death, and to defeat devil, our judgment day has been canceled. The end of the world for the Christian is just the beginning of heaven and life everlasting. And so with the words of the song, we can say, "It's the end of the world as I know it, and I feel fine in the name of Jesus. Amen."